has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So today's today is the 24th day of Tishrei. And we will be reading the second Aliyah from the Parasha of Bereshit, which we will be reading this Shabbat. We'll start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabri Hu Ishkin Tabi Kilu Urkimu Utkilu Utkilu Urkimu Liakta L'shem Yud He Bavavhe Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kerenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kerenehu. This Aliyah starts with chapter 2. I believe it's verse 4 and goes through verse 19. Eile toldot ha-shamayim v'haaretz v'hibaram v'yom ha-asot Adonai Yohei Wahei Elohim Eretz V'shamayim. V'kol Siach HaSadeh Terem Yihyeh V'eretz V'kol Eseh HaSadeh Terem It's my kilo ahim tir. Hashem Elohim al haaretz v'adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama. V'yad yale min haaretz v'yishka et kol penei ha'adama. Vayitzer Hashem Elohim et ha'adam afar min ha'adama vayifach v'apav nishmar chayim vayihi ha'adam lenefesh ha'ayad vayisa Adonai Elohim gan be'eden Mikedem Wayasem Sham et Hadam Asher Yatzar Vayatzma Adonai Elohim Min Hadama Kol Etz Mechmad Lemarev Tov Lemaakal Etz Hachayim Betoch Hashan Et hadat
has joined.
Meden lehashko et hagan umisham yibred vechaya learba arashim shem haechad pishon hu pasovev Et kol eret ha-chavila asher sham ha-zahav v'zahav ha-aret ha-hito Sham habedola ve'evin ha'shoham. B'shem ha'nahar ha'shenin gichon u'chasovevet ko'eretz kos. B'shem ha'nahar ha'shlishi hedekel u'ha'ole ka'edmat ba'asur v'chanahar harvi. Vayachach Hashem Elohim et Adam Vayanichehu b'gan Eden Le'avda u'shamra Vayatzav Hashem Elohim al Adam Le'mor mikol etz hagan Akol tokel, umeetz adat, tovira lo tokal mimenu, ki biyom akalcha mimenu mot tamut. Eselo ezer kenegdo, Vayitzer Hashem Elohim Min ha'adam ha'kol hayat Ha'sadev et kolo Ha'shamayim v'havaya ve'el ha'adam Lirod ma'ikra lo Kola sher yikra lo Adam nefesh kayahu shemo. So we have read 15 verses. We'll now read the English translation. And I will make a few comments. As I said, this is chapter 2. Verse 4 to 19. The second Aliyah, which we read today, we just finished reading, is connected to the frame of Gevurah, which we know is judgment. But it also represents strength and power. Verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. When they were created, on the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. First off, the term Lord God is Hashem Elohim. In the first chapter of Genesis, Hashem was not mentioned. The second chapter, almost every verse is mentioning Hashem Elohim. This is a connection where Chesed, represented by Hashem, and Gevurah, represented by Elohim, are working together. This is the understanding that we have that chapter 1 of Genesis is describing the creation of the world based on strict judgment. Strict judgment means if you steal, your hand falls off. There's no time between the action and the effect. If you do a good deed, you get the blessings right away. This is strict judgment, cause and effect. You do the action, the effect happens immediately. The second chapter is an indication in what the sages have explained, is Hashem saw that the world could not endure with strict judgment, because man will sin, and when man sins, the effect is immediately, and there's no chance to fix it.
Has joined.
So Hashem injected mercy. He injected Teshuvah, which he had created prior to creation. Prior to chapter 1, Teshuvah is one of the things that was created. So this name, Hashem Elohim, represents this idea that judgment has been sweetened by loving kindness, by giving people an opportunity to fix the mistake. And in order for that to happen, there needs to be time separating the cause from the effect. Well, isn't that better? But if you think about it, you're going to find it's not better. Why isn't it better? Because you are blinded by the lack, you are blinded by the separation between cause and effect. You're not able to see the cause of your effect. There's a virus going on. It's a pandemic. What's the cause? We don't know, because there's time separating the cause of the pandemic from the effect of the pandemic. If you look at the Hebrew, the fifth word is Behi Baram, and the sages have commented repeatedly that this six letters are the same letters for the word the Avraham, with Avraham the world was created, for Avraham the world was created. This is a very important teaching, because it establishes the nation that descends from Avraham is the cause of creation. Now, there are many nations that descend from Avraham. The Bible, the Torah, says it is the nation of Israel. But as we know, there are many understandings and meanings to the name Israel. Among them is Jacob is named Israel. And Israel, therefore, relates to the Sephirah of Tiferet, which is translated as beauty. But what is beauty? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But there is a teaching in Chassidut, in the concealed Torah that's been revealed, is a way of understanding the term chassidut. That teaching of the word beauty because beauty can be in the eye of the beholder. There's no standard for beauty. Just as the Supreme Court justice says, I cannot define pornography, but I know it when I see it. This is beauty. But Hashem needs a standard. Actually, we need the standard to know what is beautiful. How do you define beautiful? How can you compare one aspect of beauty to another aspect of beauty? And I apologize. I read this last week, and I have promptly forgot it. It is that powerful. It will return to me, and when it does, I will reveal it. It's an amazing teaching that there is a standard for beauty and how to define beautiful. The fifth verse. Now, no tree of the field was yet on the earth, neither did any herb of the field yet grow, because Hashem Elohim had not brought rain upon the earth, and there was no man to work the soil. We know that Adam was given work to do. Today we would say he was given service to do. But what was his work? It wasn't to pray like we think today. Adam's work was to work the soil of the garden, was to grow, help keep the growth under control. Where is the garden? The garden is the Garden of Eden. In many people's mind, that means heaven. Where is the garden? Well, there is an upper garden that is heaven-like, heaven. But there's also a lower garden. And there are places on this physical earth that can be considered heaven. They're few and far between. But yet, where is heaven? If we were doing our job of working the garden, heaven would be here on earth. But this verse is telling us that because there was no rain, there was no vegetation. Who brings the rain? Most people will tell you it's a natural effect. But actually, it's men's prayers that bring the rain. Can I prove that statement? Number one, I don't have to prove it. But I can't prove it on a logical level because we don't have the equipment or the tools to measure our level of service. We don't have the space between cause and effect that causes us not to see how our prayers bring the rain. I said that incorrectly, but I think you understand my point. There's distance between cause and effect, and therefore we cannot know that the rain is brought by our prayers. Our sages tell us that. We need to listen to them. Verse number 6. And a mist descended from the earth and watered the entire surface of the ground. A mist. Is that rain? Not really. A mist is a cloud. A mist is a cloud with water. A mist is cloud close to the ground. But what does it say in the first chapter of Bereshit? Hashem hovered over the land. The mist is Hashem. When you hear the Midrashim about Moses and Mount Sinai, it speaks of clouds, it speaks of mists. The seventh verse. And Hashem Elohim formed man of the dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the soul of life, and man became a living soul. Now, this is interesting because the first reading of Bereshit has 31 verses. Why? Because chapter 1 has 28 verses, and they added 3. What 3 did they add? The creation of man. And then we go through this whole verses 4, 5, and 6. Before man is created from the dust of the ground, were there two men created? How do we understand the need for the separation? It's a question that we need to contemplate. When it says the combined name Hashem Elohim, born man of dust, the word dust is afar. If you look at the three letters of afar, it's the sixth word, Ayin, Pei, Resh. The Pei is mouth, the Ayin is sight, vision. And Resh can either be poor, or it can be head. See, the head is the mouth. This is the energy of what created man, what material was used to form man. That material is earth, but earth in particles. Earth that's meaningless. What do you do with dust in your house? You clean it. You cleanse it. You remove it. It's to teach us that man is really, truly very low. If we would only learn that lesson, we could claim to be humble. The eighth verse. And the Lord Hashem Elohim planted a garden in Eden from the east, and he placed there the man whom he had formed. So Hashem created man from the physical earth, and then he put him in heaven. Where does it say heaven? Look at the word Gan Be'eden. It doesn't say Gan Eden. It says Gan Be'eden. Gan is garden. Eden is see the doorway to falling. What is the bet? The blessing. See the blessing of the doorway to keep you from falling. The ninth pasuk. And Hashem Elohim caused to sprout from the ground every tree, pleasant to see and good to eat. And the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, the translation midst of the garden is the word betoch, bet taf vav kasofit. Remember that word tohu? It's spelled taf vav he, tohu. It means chaos. It's not a positive thing. The kaf at the end of the word means your. The bet at the beginning of the word is in or with. With chaos. With your chaos is the meaning of midst. You have a right to say, but where's the hay? I don't see the hay. Well, the vav can be letter substituted by moving one letter to the left, to the right. And it becomes a vav. The vav becomes a hey. And the vowel, the dot over the top of the, doesn't have to have the letter. It's incomplete without the letter, but it's still, you can see the word being created. The toch, the midst. Well, some people will define midst meaning the center of the garden. Doesn't say the center of the garden. Unless Hebrew means, the toch means the center. I'm not going to make that leap of faith. I'm not going to make that aspect of knowledge. But it says there are two trees, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Guess what? The tree of knowledge is not in the Garden of Eden. The tree of knowledge, good and evil, is the physical world. That's why it says good and evil. It's a cycle. It goes up, it goes down. So how did Adam eat, having been put into the Garden of Eden? How does he find the tree of knowledge, good and evil? Because God took him to the physical world and said, don't eat from this fruit of this tree. And that's where we begin to understand the physical world is good and evil. But ultimately, the tree of knowledge, good and evil, is an aspect. It's part of the tree of life. How do we know that? We know that from the vav that precedes the word etz. In the eighth word, the vav is the connecting language of and. The 10th verse. And a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it separated and became four heads. What is the meaning of four heads? Some people will say it's four rivers. But we don't know that. We have to know what is a head. If you look at the word Rashim, which is the last word in the verse, it has the word Resh, the letter Resh, followed by the word fire, Esh, followed by the word Yam, sea. The head is the sea of fire. The sea of fire is Torah and passion. This is one head. What other heads can you define out of this word? I'm running out of time, so I have to move faster. The 11th verse, the name of one is Pishon. That is the one that encompasses all the land of Havilah, where there is gold. The land of Havilah is referring to a land that refers to the eight kings of Edom before there was a king in Israel. It refers from the Ari's teaching, these verses refer to the breaking of the vessels. But which vessel is the land of Havilah? You have to make that connection and go do the research, because I don't have the time. And what does the word Pishon mean? That is also something you need to permutate. But I'll give you a hint, not really more than a hint. First letter is te, which means mouth. Then you have an active verb, yashon, yud shin vav nun. Have you heard the term lashon? Lashon means language. What do you think P, meaning the letter P, and then yashon, active something which might be language? And the gold of that land is good. There is the crystal and the onyx stone. Why does it say that the gold is of the land is good? Gold is the color yellow. Gold is a left column metal. Silver is right column. Gold is good, meaning this is in the world of Atzilut. This is in the world where there is no negativity. That's why the Torah tells us gold of that land is good. Verse 13. And the name of the second river is Gihon. That is the one that encompasses all the land of Cush. The land of Cush, Cush means black. Gihon, we're back to the word hon and the active word of hon, but what does the gimel mean? The gimel represents the camel, which is a water-concealing entity. Water is always Torah. Always water is always chesed. And the name of the third river is Tigris. That is the one that flows to the east of Assyria. And the fourth river, that is the Euphrates. Do you know where the Tigris River is and where the Euphrates River is? You have to cross the Euphrates River to enter Aram. And you have to cross the Tigris River to enter Afghanistan. I believe that's true. I'm not 100% certain. I know the Euphrates is the river that separates Iran from Iraq. Now the Lord God, Hashem Elohim, took the man and he placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it. Didn't he tell us that earlier in this same reading that he put the man in the Garden of Eden? So what we're understanding is he put the man in the Garden of Eden, then he took him to the physical world, he showed him the tree of knowledge, good and evil, said, don't eat from this, and then he took him back up to the Garden of Eden. But he gave him the job of working the Garden of Eden and guarding the Garden of Eden. And there's two different things. Just as we have to keep the Shabbat, we have to guard the Shabbat. And Hashem Elohim commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Did it tell you you could eat the animals? No. Why can't you eat the animals? God is telling you, eat from the trees. Eat from the plant kingdom. after Noah, after the flood, he gives us permission to eat animals. But we are taught that during the 10 generations from Adam to Noah, people did eat animals. They broke God's command. Now, what do we know about command? Very clearly. Where do you see the word tzav in this verse? It's not there. So why does the translation say commanded? Well, you see it in the first word. And yitzav. Va yitzav. Why is it the first word? We know that command, tzadivav, is idol worship. But does it change when it comes from God with the yud? Does it change when it's an active command? Something you need to contemplate. The 17th verse. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For on that day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. I'm sorry, the word surely isn't in there. It's this phrase, mot tamut. Mot means die or death. Tamut is a verb form that means in the future. Death will die. At the day that you eat from the tree of knowledge, death will die. That's a literal translation. Death hasn't died. Death, meaning Satan, will never die. The angel of death will die. He will no longer utilize that tool to take souls out of bodies. The 19th verse. And the Lord God formed from the earth every beast of the field and every fowl of the heavens. And he brought it to man to see what he would call it. And whatever the name called each living thing, whatever the man called each living thing, that was its name. There's a midrash about how the angels objected to man naming the animals. And he said, you go and name them and see the difference. And they were made clearly that only man is capable of seeing the internal at the same time he sees the external. And that's really what is being taught here. You have the capability to see inside of others and see the internal essence of a person, not just the external essence. You just have to learn how to use it. You have to learn how to practice it. Now, all of these comments that I have made today is my comments, my opinion. Some of them you may accept, some of you may disagree with, but they each need to be contemplated. And I will be putting up the recording so that you can rehear these things that I have said that is my opinion. That doesn't mean they should be your opinion. We are out of time. Does anybody have any questions?
I do. Shalom.
Shalom. You all have a beautiful day.
Oh, thank you. You said that in that line that surely does not appear in the text. Is that your opinion or is that a fact?
Everything I said is my opinion, because I don't speak Hebrew well enough to say every word doesn't have the word surely in it. But okay. I did not see it.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I like that opinion, I'll just have to say.
I don't that remember what number it was, but I went to look for it just to see if there was something I would add, but really there isn't.
Yeah, in the verse of that, if you eat of the tree of the good knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. If surely die, surely doesn't occur that way. It kind of changes things a little bit, too.
Well, I can tell very clearly that particular verse, the phrase mot tamut cannot mean surely.
Has joined.
Because the roots are death, and we know that death is not supposed to be permanent. That's what the resurrection of the dead represents. Are there any other? You're welcome. Are there any other questions? Have a beautiful day, and we will be doing this every day. Why? Why am I adding this additional effort? Because it takes away from your time, and that's I want to make sure that you're busy doing spirituality, but. That's one reason. But another reason is we need to be doing additional spiritual work. If that's good deeds, you're excused from being here. If you're not doing good deeds, if you're not helping people, then you do need to be doing more spiritual actions. More study. Again, that's my opinion. You need to determine the truth of that for yourselves. Have a beautiful day. We have three more classes. One is at 11 a.m., which is a basic class on sickness and health. It's been a number of weeks since we've been able to have two people come listen to that, so I hope you'll join us. Our Deep Zohar class is at 4:30, and our Ari essay for tonight is at 7. These are all West Coast times, so please make the adjustment for yourself. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom Gadol, thank you.
Shalom
Gadol, thank you.